Welcome back to the Mix Files. Our guest this week is none other than Steve Gilmore. Listening to some of his fine tunage at this instant. Got some laughs, got some fun, some good conversations, some killer music. What a great time Steve and I had. I'm Cooter, the host for the Mix Files and also the DJ for Saturday Night Rocks on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. The Mix Files has a page on Mixposure.com. You can get there by Mixposure.com/Mix Files, M-I-X-F-I-L-E-S, one word, no spaces, lines, or anything else. It'll take you straight to the Mix Files page. On the Mix Files page, if you'll scroll down, depending on how your screen is, you may or may not need to scroll down, but you'll see information on the page you land on at Mixposure.com/Mix Files. And there's a link there if you're new to Mixposure and don't know how to get to the pages where all the downloads and the reviews are. There's a link straight to that page, so you don't even have to know how to navigate. All you need to do is read the information, and the links are clearly there. Please visit whenever you can, are able, would care to. Leave a comment if you have an extra second or two. That's always appreciated. Steve Gilmore is a gentleman who has done most everything that has anything to do with music. What a great time we had. I'm going to shut up and let the music play for a second. You get your volume adjusted to this music between now and the next conversation and you'll be set for the rest of the Mix Files. Appreciate you.
Let's just start off with how you found Mixposure, if you don't mind.
Goes back to around 2002, 2003, when I first met Mike Kay. Who's my link to Mixposure.
Okay.
This was when everybody was clustered around SoundClick. Right after MP3Com had gone down, it was really a happening place. And there were lots of people that, you know, now when you mention their names, you go, oh, yeah, I've heard of them. And then Mike started doing a radio show, Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Rocks, rather, on another website. And that's where we started to kind of hang out every Saturday night. And this went on for like, I don't know, 2-3 years.
Cool.
And the next thing I know, he's on Mixposure and doing Saturday Night Rocks over there too. So that kind of introduced me to Mixposure, but I pretty much knew most of the people already from way before. From, you know, even from 2000 or so. Because I've been around, you know, doing this a long time.
Yeah. What got you into music? How long? Well, I don't want to talk too many time frames, but what got you into music?
I think I've always been into it. It's always been a passion. It's always been something that's like a background to my life. And I kind of grew up in an era where the music was pretty diabolical. You know, it didn't really do anything to you. But then you get like diamonds shining out every once in a while, and somebody like Roy Orbison would come along.
Oh yeah,
and completely blow you away because this guy wrote concertos.
Yeah.
He didn't write songs. He wrote whole musical structures. And you know, having kind of grew up listening to a lot of jazz, you know. I really got into stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at bottom, it was always the rhythm that, you know, it was, you know, something that had kind of inner drive, an inner push.
Yes.
And a lot of Roy Orbison's early tracks, even though they were ballads, had this kind of insistence,
mm-hmm.
this overriding pulse. And it was that kind of made me think, oh yeah, that I'd like to do that.
No, hang on.
I got a trumpet, and that was my first instrument. What was your first instrument?
Guitar.
Guitar.
And what?
And were you still in school, junior high school when you got that, or was it after that?
Oh, as I say, we were pretty poor. Instruments were like way down the list.
Yeah.
Even though once the kind of Beatles thing started, I was completely transfixed.
Yeah.
It took me a while to kind of figure out, okay, how do I actually do this? And I first started hanging around with bands and then got to kind of carry equipment around. And then, you know, jam in rehearsals. And then before you know it, you know, I'm in bands.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
And this was at a time when, you know, this is a big deal. To be in a band, you know, in the kind of cross between the 60s and 70s was a very big thing.
Mm-hmm.
People kind of, I don't know, would have killed to be there. And of course, a few of them did, so.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, I think 1969 or 68, I can't remember if it was 68 or 69 was the first year I was in a band.
Mm-hmm.
I had a trumpet and had taught myself how to play it, and I like the trumpet because of Louis Armstrong. I just love his music.
Yep, another genius.
Yeah, man, jazzy blues, I just love it. And his voice too. I loved his voice.
But that was the thing that got me more than the trumpet playing. It was like, once he started kind of singing, you know, everything stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just like your jaw hit the floor.
Yep. That's exactly what happened with me, what? Man. I couldn't believe that was coming out of a human being's mouth.
Yeah,
it just sounded so good to me.
this kind of liquid honey that like drips down your ears, you know, I mean, God, give
yes.
me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And bluegrass, most for a lot of people, if you have anything other than acoustic instruments in there, it doesn't matter what you're playing, it's not bluegrass.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, I get real bumfuzzled with sometimes, do you call something alternative rock, progressive rock, rock, Americana, pop, you know, I just don't know. It really confuses me. But I'm saying all that because what I want to ask you is what type of music were you playing when you first started playing in a band? And it's a loaded question, see?
It's a long way to come around.
I know.
When the kind of Beatles and the Stones thing was happening, this is like 64, 65, uh-huh. although this really excited and interested me, what really moved me was soul music.
Oh.
Deep soul music. Uh-huh. And at the time, something that nobody had really heard before, which was a thing that they called bluebeat or ska. Mm-hmm. Which is from the West Indies. It's like the root of reggae.
Mm-hmm.
So while everybody else was kind of raving about the white bands, I was really into what all the black artists were doing.
So was I.
I mean, I had the really good fortune to see the Stax Vault tour of 1967.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, the whole Stax crew.
You're talking right down my alley right now, man.
I tell you what, I was absolutely stunned. Yeah. I couldn't believe that these people, they had such fun doing what they were doing. Uh-huh. And if I wasn't convinced at that moment in time that this is what I wanted to do with my life, seeing things like that, and I've had lots of experiences like that, really kind of solidified it. Okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. In other words, I wanted to be a musician. I didn't want to be a star. I didn't want any of the kind of other crap that goes with it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to actually move people.
Yeah.
And it was things like that really inspired me. But the underpinning for it comes from my love of, in essence, black music.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything that I do is shot through with it.
he still has a lot of improving to do, I think.
I think the music's gone a long, long, long way towards kind of dropping a lot of those boundaries.
Yes, I think music is the best chance we have to live in peace, I think, actually.
The only one. Yeah. It's the only one. It's the only language that everybody understands properly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And once again, this is a real big thing with me. I really believe that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't just say it. I mean every single word.
Right.
Which is, you know, why in lots of ways we're all doing this. You, me, all of our mates, or all of our friends, all of our distant friends. You know, I mean, we're all involved in making music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody I know.
Yeah. I know, actually, now that I'm starting to, you mentioning that, I'm thinking about it, and I was going to say, well, I know some people that are not, but in some way they are.
Yeah, because you know? They're either listening to it or being interested through you, and that only increases, it seems to me, as you get, you know, kind of more well-known. Even though it's not a well-known that anybody in commercial terms would recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started with a guitar, and I'm guessing from...
No. I actually started by, like, singing in bands, because I couldn't play a guitar.
Oh, you were singing. Okay.
And then I finally managed to get a guitar and learn to play. By walking around with the guitar glued to my hands.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was the only way to do it. And in actual fact, I spent, 2-3 years just busking on the street for money.
Wow.
Which was a brilliant experience. And I'd recommend it to anybody that takes their music seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really want to prove who you are, go out in the street and earn some change.
Yeah.
And you'll find out, just how wide you can actually make this thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's also, of course, the hardest audience in the world. They're just walking by. They don't give a crap.
Yeah.
What you got to do to really make money is you got to stop them.
Yeah.
And make them kind of respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes, you know, takes experience, power.
Yes.
In every bit, the same way as, you know, when bands go on stage, it's the same thing. It's just magnified by amplification and electrification.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing then you started when you did get a guitar,
mm-hmm.
Electric or acoustic?
Acoustic. Acoustic's always been my kind of style.
I'm guessing also now you play more instruments than a guitar. Is that correct or wrong?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you carry on the kind of career line, as it were.
Uh-huh.
That's a joke, isn't it?
It's only natural. Yeah, I get it too.
If you follow the path of my life, it goes from acoustic musician, solo musician. I was in a band in the mid-70s, and we made a record, which is still kind of around today. Then I had a couple of bad experiences in the music industry, and it really kind of opened my eyes to what I was working with. So at that point on, I actually stopped playing music.
Yeah.
It kind of destroyed my faith, if you know what I mean.
I think, I'm not sure if you are speaking of, the bad thing being, financial and waking up to, you know, there are a lot of parasites in the music business.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, shop.
Yeah.
And that is the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem then. It's the problem now. It's always been the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that our language has been hijacked since the Beatles. That was the first time, I think, that, you know, ordinary kids had a chance to actually make something like this, to make something that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And once people started to realize that they could make, you know, huge amounts of money from it, it just all went to shit.
Yeah. That happens to just about everything that people realize they can make huge amounts of money from. Then it goes to shit.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. And if you look around now, and for the past few years, there's been a growing kind of thing that hopefully is going to replace all of that crap, which is really the kind of free music online market that sites like Mixposure really, really kind of help. They nurture, they foster this underground that's been around actually for about eight or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
If we look around and say, okay, have you heard about so and so? Have you heard about so and so? You'll find that most of the people that you know do know who these people are.
Yes.
They're way below the parapet, but these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of the similarity between the revolution in music in the 60s and the revolution in music since we were able to understand that we can actually make music, proper music, recorded music, on our computers without anything. We'll be right back.
plate. Try to tell you how to finish the race. Life's a game we all gotta play. Nothing's forever, soon fades away. Don't you come to me for help. I can't help you now. Fields are foul when the grain is rotten. You're the one that drove the mule. Tired of this bad news. I don't want to listen to no one cry the blues. Go ahead and make that change. In the end, you're the only one to blame, not someone else. Gonna be a blue sky turning gray for me. If you wish they do the same for you, why go ahead, do what you're gonna do. What you gonna do?
I had never looked at it from that perspective, but I believe I agree with you that there are similarities between what was going on in the 60s with the peace, love, Woodstock revolution and all that, of which I was, I don't know if I was consciously a part. I don't like to join anything that would have me for a member.
You and me both.
Yeah, but I think I see what I agree. This is a time of finding new freedoms and being able to express oneself. Anyone now who can afford a computer, there's still kind of that caveat with it. But anyone who can afford a computer can find a way to make music if they
absolutely
really want
so. Yes. Yeah. It is so easy.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started, but to continue the conversation about the, you know, the way all this kind of stuff worked out, I was managing a band and it all went really cockeyed once they started to get hits.
Do you mind saying what band that was?
The Specials.
Okay.
Or as you call them, I can't even remember what they're called in America. They were a ska band, a blue beat band, mm-hmm. but a white and black band. And young, you know, in 1980, they were what, 1920?
Yeah.
And they kind of revitalized, for me anyway, they've revisited my past. And I think that's why I got so into what they were doing. But of course, once, you know, you hit reality, what you think is going on and what's actually going on is sometimes two different things or three different things.
great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. Those words are true again. I believe that we are again engaged in a great civil war, a cultural war. Blatantly irrational behavior is rapidly being established as the norm in almost every area of human endeavor. Some people in public employ were morons. I fear you no longer trust. You are the best and the brightest. How to behave. We don't. We disobey. You are the best and the brightest. How to behave. We don't. We disobey. Those in the right against those with the might. Disobedience is in our DNA. Disobedience is in our DNA. How to behave. We don't. We disobey. Those words are true again. I believe that we are again engaged in a great civil war, a cultural war. It's about to hijack your birthright to think and say what lives in your heart. You must be willing to be humiliated, to endure the modern day equivalent of the police dogs in Montgomery and the water cannons at Selma. You must be willing to experience discomfort. Those in the right fight against those with the might. Disobedience is in our DNA. Those in the right fight against those with the might. Disobedience is in our DNA. Those in the right fight against those with the might. Disobedience is in our DNA.
In other words, there is still room for you to do this.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So many people, you know, kind of look at, yes, it's easy to make music. Jesus, it's impossible to get it heard and known. You know, I mean,
it's not impossible.
No, it's
difficult.
Absolutely not.
It takes work.
It takes persistence.
Yeah.
What you got to do is kind of ignore everything, get focused.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, this is something that I learned at that period of time, you know, that when the shit hits the fan, as it were, you got to get focused. You got to start realizing what you can do and what you can't do, you know, and sometimes, although you think you can change the world, you actually can't. It's not realistic, you know. And I think that was the time that I kind of realized that as much of a hippie as I am, I'm a realist more than anything else.
Yeah. I don't know how the change the world thing works. I just, that's above my pay grade, you know. but I do know this, you never know, you know, you never know when something small that you do or say will have a very large impact on someone who may actually, you know, may actually get the worldwide microphone and be able to say something that moves a whole bunch of people. So,
that's true.
Yeah, so by proxy, you know, maybe there is a chance, you know, by proxy, but I agree that anyone who wakes up every day thinking I'm going to change the world, or that, you know, maybe this song that I wrote should be in the Bible is missed the boat altogether. You know?
And their brains, yeah.
Yes.
a sandwich short of a picnic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the point I'm making is that we came out of this period of time where we did believe that we could make these changes.
Oh, yes.
We utterly believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sold a crock of shit, pure and simple. You know, I mean, all of this stuff was sold back to us. And I think that's where most people lost that eternal love for the music that infected us at the time.
I don't know that I ever lost the love for it, but I did. It did lose a lot of luster with me for a while there.
Yeah, everybody went through this period where, you know, it was pretty dire. Yeah, there were things happening, but it just wasn't the same at all. There wasn't that fire in the belly that kind of drove all of this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And once again, I see that fire in the belly. I hear it all the time now, but at this level, not through commercial means.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I'm basing it on the fact that, you know, I've had a lot of experience at this. Once again, to bring us back to the story I'm trying to tell.
I'll try to shut up and let you go on with it, man.
No, wander at will. But at the same time, I'm trying to tell a story here so that
what
I'm saying makes some sense to people, maybe. So I came out of this situation and I pretty much ran away. I left England vowing never to return. And I spent a gap year where I just kind of traveled and worked as a DJ here and, you know, did this thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I ended up in America. And I lived in LA for a year, and I started to discover that in actual fact I could produce, I could make music that way. So once I'd kind of discovered that fact, I moved to New York and lived there for the rest of the time, just producing and recording records. And again, this was like brilliant experience. Because it taught me how to make a sound count. You know, even the smallest of sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, let's say you're listening to a track and the thing that keeps getting your attention and you keep thinking, why is that? And it's just a hi-hat and it's just doing something that you're thinking, what? Why would you do that? Well, because it works.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of the music that I make these days, people say, this shouldn't be. And yeah, it is, it does, it works.
Oh, it certainly does. The music you're making certainly does work.
And once again, this is, you know, one of the reasons why I think we're all so addicted to what we do, dedicated, persistent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So anyway, the thing that all of this experience really taught me more than anything else about making music is if you're not original, then you're not doing it. If you...
Yes.
Grabbing by the scruff of the neck and saying, "Oi, do you hear this?"
Mm-hmm.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
because of what happened, I spent a long time thinking about the nature of what we went through back in the time where we all thought, yeah, the music's really going to make things different. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, the reason it worked that time is because each of these voices was very individual, very unique. It wasn't this kind of stamped out factory version thing.
Right.
Everything that you heard was different, but different in such a way it made you blew your mind, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what got me reviewing music. It's certainly what got me into making my own music electronically. And I've been doing this since 1992 online. Mm-hmm. I think it's my first ever piece of music online that year.
Cool.
So it's what, 20 years?
Yeah, man.
And, you know, just as a word of caution, it's taken me 20 years to get an audience.
Even though
I'm known from before, mm-hmm. you know. This is a hard sell.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that keeps you going, the glue that keeps it all together, is the fact that every single track you do gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, if that's not what's happening, then you're not doing it right.
You have been listening to The Mix Files, and we appreciate that you have. The Mix Files comes to you on Saturday Night Rocks each Saturday night. Saturday Night Rocks airs from 8 p.m. or thereabouts Eastern Standard Time U.S. till somewhere around midnight. Depends on a number of different things. Steve Gilmore has been our guest this week on The Mix Files. I hope you folks enjoyed that. I know I did. I hope Steve did as well, and I hope Steve is happy with his Mix Files. If you're interested, if you're an artist on Mixposure.com and you're interested in a Mix Files, there is no charge for this. I don't get paid anything for doing this. It takes about 20 hours to put one together. You can contact me about that if you are a member of Mixposure.com and you have some songs up on Mixposure.com. We might could make that happen. To contact me, go to Mixposure.com/Mix Files. It'll get you directly to the Mix Files page, and you can contact me through there with the little contact choice on the menu. Across the top of the artist page screen. There's a lot of information. There's all of the Mix Files which have aired previously are available there for streaming and or download. And there are places on the page for comments. If you would care to leave one, that would be greatly appreciated. Let me see here. Well, this is about the end of it. Hope you join us next week. Let's see, there was one more thing, but I do not remember what it was, and since this is pre-recorded, I'll come back in and put it in just a second, or maybe I won't remember. The Mix Files, number 25.